A good Friday morning to you. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. With Super Tuesday coming into focus next week and presidential hopefuls dropping off along the way, it's a fine time to start pondering the always fascinating question, who's going to snag the VP spots? As everyone knows by now, John Edwards and Rudy Giuliani both stepped aside in the past week, which makes them potential candidates. Giuliani was quick to send his support over to McCain. Edwards is holding off an endorsement for the time being. But aside from those two, who else is out there in the field? Well, today we'll take a look at the contenders for the number two spot in all the land and find out what they've got going for them. Also, what makes an attractive VP candidate and why does it matter? Come along and join the conversation this hour as we're talking VPs. Do you have a favorite candidate in mind for either party? And does the VP spot matter to you? And why? The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. We'll be joined by two guests this hour. First off, Dottie Lynch, who teaches in the School of Communication at American University and is a CBS News political consultant. And then halfway through the hour, we'll pick up with Dan Cohen, who is the founder of the online magazine vicepresidents.com and author of Second String, Trivia Facts and Lists about the Vice Presidency and its Vice Presidents. Dottie Lynch is with us now. Hi, Dottie. Thank you so much for joining us this
hour. Nice to be with you.
So let's talk about Rudy Giuliani. He dropped out this past week and threw his support over to McCain. Does that mean he's looking at a number two spot?
Well, I think we know he's looking at not getting the number one spot. And I think at some of these people, it takes a while for their egos to get back in check. When they were running for the top job, number two doesn't look so good. Maybe after a few weeks on the beach and getting some sleep, they realize they want to be back in the fray. But it's kind of interesting. For some reason, and I don't know this, I haven't talked to any of Giuliani's advisors about this, I don't feel that that would be in the cards. He had a very successful business going, and my sense is he liked doing that. He felt he was doing well at that and may not really be relishing the number two spot on his ticket.
So why the quick move to support McCain?
Well, I think he was felt closest to McCain on the issues, and that his relationship with either Romney or Huckabee was not really strong. So a lot of his financial backers, I think, felt more comfortable with McCain as well.
So who else is out there in the Republican field that looks like an attractive pick for a vice president?
Well, you know, it depends on so many factors. Sometimes they want a very different type of person. There'll be some pressure, I think, from some of the social conservatives to say Mike Huckabee is the way we want to go, that he is the person who really is standing up for issues on abortion and gay rights, things that social conservatives care about that they're a little wary of McCain on. On the other hand, a lot of McCain advisors say, listen, he can broaden the party because while he has a good voting record on these issues, people really don't think of him in terms of those issues, and he might be able to get some independents or Democrats over to his side, so we don't want to send a signal that we're going to close people out. Romney, the number two, would be kind of an obvious choice, although, again, right now the feelings between the two men are so raw that it would take a while, I think, for that to calm down. They were just at each other's throats two nights ago in a debate, so that takes a while. And then, you know, there's just a host of younger governors, maybe somebody from the South. McCain's age makes it a very interesting opportunity for someone. He has alluded in the past that he might only serve one term, so it would be a great grooming opportunity for somebody who wanted to run 4 years later. So I think there'll be very few people saying no, but Giuliani, for some reason, just doesn't feel right to me.
I was reading a blog last night on VP picks, and it seems that some questioners of McCain, not very kindly, of course, but suggested that, you know, he's in his 70s, the possibility is real that he could pass away in office, which makes the VP choice very important for him. Is that something that you think anybody's going to care about?
Well, exactly. I do think that, you know, even if he is able to get through one term, getting through two terms would put him at 80 when he left, and that might be a lot. So I think that is something that both voters and potential VPs might think about a lot more than usually the VP slot is seen as, you know, just somebody who goes to funerals. Dick Cheney clearly has changed that, as did Al Gore. They were more activists, but I think McCain's age has got to be factored in here.
What about Condoleezza Rice? Is anyone talking about her? I know there was some banter on MSNBC where they suggested that she might make a good pick. I think it was for the Democrats, though, in this case. Have you heard anything about her?
Yeah, I mean, her name comes up. Her name comes up for a lot of things, and she's been playing it coy, although she's really done a big round of stroking the press. She's got a couple of biographies written about her that she cooperated with, so I think she wants to stay in the national eye, and that would be a fascinating choice.
How much does the VP spot really matter to voters? Maybe we mentioned McCain's age, but is anyone going to be swayed toward a particular candidate based on the VP choice?
Well, it's hard to measure. I think I did a lot of work in the 80s when Geraldine Ferraro was on the ticket with Walter Mondale. And you could see it just at the margins, maybe with women voters, she helped maybe 2 or 3 points. They still didn't win women voters because he put her on the ticket, but it did help a little bit, get a few more women, but very few. I think it just is a statement about who the candidate is, what their policies might be. By taking Al Gore, for example, in 1992, Bill Clinton underscored the generational theme, that these were two guys in their 40s from the border states. It just sort of made the package a little bit clearer. Obviously, last time, John Kerry picking John Edwards was an attempt to go for the South, to hopefully secure Edwards' home state of North Carolina. That didn't work. But, you know, people look for, usually they look for balance, something that they're not. But in the Clinton case, was kind of interesting because he took somebody who was very much like him, and it seemed to be a good formula, surprised people, and it was a good formula to remind them that this was going to be a generational change.
Obviously, the VP slot is attractive because you're getting your training wheels for the presidency. Other than that, I get the feeling that there's not always a lot of glamour in this job. I mean, sometimes, depending on the relationship a VP has with the president, it just seems like they kind of have to suck it up and go along with whatever the president is deciding.
Yeah, if you listen to some of the tapes of Hubert Humphrey, who was Lyndon Johnson's vice president, you see how frustrating it is for someone who is used to being an independent soul, and suddenly he is just the vice president trying to do some things, disagreed with President Johnson on Vietnam and some other economic issues, and was really struggling to get his voice heard. But as I said, the Cheney example is somebody who has very clearly used the vice presidency as a major policymaking and dominant force in the administration. So I think it depends on both the relationship with the president and how willing the president is to cede some of his own power or her own power.
Well, let's talk about the Democrats. I don't know if you heard last night on the debates, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were asked if they would consider adding the other one to the ticket as a running mate, and they hadn't said they would rule it out.
Well, they were playing so nice last night. I think maybe a week ago they would have said, what, take that Walmart person? What do you mean, the slumlord attorney? Last night they were very cordial. And I think Democrats looking at that debate last night couldn't help but think, gee, you know, these are two very articulate people. Wouldn't it be great if we could get both of them? But right now, I think their camps want to kill each other rather than love each other. So take a little while.
Well, I had heard that Hillary would not consider a number two slot because it would be, this is the wrong phrase, but beneath her station. She'd already been, you know, the wife of the president of the United States, and that accepting a VP spot would be sort of beneath her.
I think that may be right. I think I feel that way sort of in the same way I feel about Giuliani, that it seems she's got carved out for herself a very strong role in the Senate, and that if she doesn't get the number one spot, she might see herself eventually becoming majority leader in the Senate and continuing that way. rather than a vice presidential slot, which where she'd have to do a lot of ceremonial things, which we know are not her favorite things to do. She probably wouldn't have to make cookies, though, if she was in the VP mansion. But, you know, it just seems as if she probably sees herself on a path to a strong Senate career rather than VP. But you never know, and there's a lot of pressure when people happened to John Kerry. He wasn't crazy about John Edwards. They never got along very well. But people really put a lot of pressure on to have him take him because they thought he was going to make the ticket strong and win. And Democrats really, really want back the White House.
He has said since that he regretted picking Edwards for that spot.
Yeah, he, as I said, he got pushed into it. And during the course of the campaign, they saw things very differently. And then once the campaign was over and they lost, there were a lot of fingers pointed from each camp and not a lot of warm and fuzzy conversations.
So in Edwards' case, it might be sort of a been there, done that thing. You might not want to go through that again.
I think that may be right. Although, you know, he kind of has left public life, didn't run again for the Senate in order to campaign. He obviously has family issues to consider, but if it were a way, I suppose, to get himself back into a national office, he might consider it. But I think right now it's a been there, done that thing.
Well, what about Wesley Clark? He is looking pretty good for certainly, I don't know, maybe anybody. He brings a lot of military experience to whatever ticket he would join, and he's mentioned as someone who's a possibility for the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, he has definitely not shied away from that speculation either, and because he does have the military credentials, which neither Obama nor Clinton have, he's supporting Clinton right now, but I don't think he would object to being on an Obama ticket. He's from Arkansas, which gives him another kind of border state credential. His presidential campaign was a little bit of a disappointment. Some people were referring to Fred Thompson recently as the Wesley Clark of 2008, that he got all this hype beforehand, and then once he actually got out and campaigned, he wasn't very comfortable, but maybe he learned some lessons.
Another name that's been floated is Bill Richardson, who, of course, was in the race himself, and he has been really actively courted by both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They've had, I read an interesting article where it said in a single day he'd fielded about 6 calls from Bill Clinton, from Hillary Clinton, from Barack Obama, from the Kennedys. You know, people are really wondering where he's going to come down.
Yeah, Richardson has such an interesting resume. In fact, one of the best sets of ads that ran and during the primaries were some ads that were touting his resume because he's been a member of Congress, he's now a governor, he was in the cabinet, he's a negotiator, he has all this foreign policy experience. So he's got a great resume, and he's fairly well-liked by other politicians. There are some politicians that leave people cold. John Kerry was an example of one of those. But Richardson has a lot of friends. On the other hand, some of the debates, he made some mistakes. He was a little bit sloppy in his facts, and there's sort of a feeling that, you know, he may be a little bit of a freelancer and a loose cannon, but he brings a lot, especially being Hispanic, being from the Southwest. I mean, all of those little boxes that you'd want to check off, you can check off with Richardson pretty quickly.
Well, the article I read was pretty interesting. He seemed definitely to be keeping his options open. He mentioned the loyalty issue in terms of the Clintons. As far as Barack Obama goes, he said he's a nice guy. There was a moment in a debate, I guess, where Richardson had been not paying attention to the moderator, who suddenly turned on him with a question, and he had nothing. He hadn't been paying attention, and Obama whispered to him, "Katrina. It's about Katrina." And so he thought, that's pretty decent, you know. So yeah. I guess that's enough to keep him open-minded about Barack Obama.
Well, as I said, he has a lot of he's a clubby kind of guy. People tend to like him. Other politicians like him. And I think if you're looking for a vice president who you feel would be loyal and somebody who would kind of be a buddy rather than a competitor, he might fill the bill.
We're talking this hour with Dottie Lynch, at least for the first half of the hour. She teaches in the School of Communication at American University and is a CBS News political consultant. She'll be with us for another 8 minutes or so as we talk about VP selections for the coming year. Who will be the number two spot on both tickets? Who would you like to see? And does it matter to you who the VP candidate is? Would you ever let yourself be swayed to vote for a particular candidate because of who their vice presidential pick was? And as far as McCain goes, if he is indeed the Republican candidate, are you worried about his age and will you be looking more closely at that VP candidate? Call us with your thoughts this hour at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. At half past noon on Chapter a Day, Jim Fleming reads from American Creation, Triumphs and Tragedies at the Founding of the Republic by Joseph J. Ellis. Veronica Rickert back with you. I'm in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network as we talk VPs. We're getting down to the field in both camps, Democratic and Republican. We've lost John Edwards and Rudy Giuliani. And closer to that final pick there, wondering who will complete the ticket for the number two spot. And we're talking right now with Dottie Lynch, who teaches in the School of Communication at American University and is a CBS News political consultant. And Dottie Lynch, we've got some folks waiting to talk to you, so let's go ahead and take a call from Karen in Platteville. Hey, Karen, you're on the air.
Good morning. Well, you've already mentioned some of the people I would have chosen, too, if McCain is the Republican nominee for president and Clinton is the Democratic nominee, then I was going to say Wesley Clark or possibly Richardson. But then I would also say that as the campaign goes along, then she should name some of her cabinet in advance of the actual election. Like she could name Richardson to the UN again or some other position, Obama as to one of the cabinet secretaries, and then Edwards as Secretary of Labor, to spread them out just before the election or selection for 2008. And on the McCain side, although I hadn't thought about Condoleezza Rice, I thought, you know, that's a pretty good possibility. Otherwise, I was thinking of Schwarzenegger, even though he couldn't be ever become president. He would have a lot of pizzazz with a lot of people.
Interesting stuff. Thank you, Karen. Dottie Lynch?
Well, I think all of those are good choices. I was thinking during the break that one of the fun things I do with my students is we talk about Hillary Clinton and VP choices. And I said, well, what about Kathleen Sebelius, the governor of Kansas? She's often mentioned as a VP choice, and people two women? I said, well, we've had two men for a lot of these years. But it's interesting to see the fates of some of these people who were really getting themselves positioned, and then suddenly the top of the ticket is usually the type that you think of for balance. And so whether Clinton or an Obama would go for someone who is also a little different or whether they'll take kind of a more traditional white male is also something interesting to speculate.
And what do you think? Do you think a two-woman ticket is just going to be too much to swallow? We've come a long way, but have we come that far?
Well, exactly. I think that kind of puts the brakes on how far we have gone and would kind of get people pretty upset. Although Sebelius the other day did endorse Obama. And again, you know, she's not a household word. She's not somebody who is known in Washington. But if he wanted to send a signal that he wanted somebody from do something different, not entrenched Washington insider, she's also very capable and has won in a very red state of Kansas. So I would expect to see her name up maybe for if Obama were in contention rather than Hillary.
Thanks for that call, Karen. And we take another now from Scott in Green Bay. Welcome, Scott. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm wondering if, like in 2000, you heard this earlier, I wonder if the gravitas issue is going to come up in this election, especially if Obama is the nominee. I mean, we had heard that over and over and over again, how Bush was quite the lightweight and he needed somebody to prop him up, you know, with Obama only having 2 years in the Senate. And then even for Hillary Clinton, because she was Bill's wife for 8 years in the White House doesn't give her a whole lot of experience to be the commander in chief. And I'm wondering if that is going to play an issue, the lack of gravitas by those two candidates.
Would that make you want to see someone like a Wesley Clark?
Actually, not a Wesley Clark. I'm not a big fan of Wesley Clark. Bill Richardson would be a far better choice than Wesley Clark.
All right. Thanks for the call, Scott. And Dottie Lynch, what do you think? Is there enough experience here that they're going to be going for a more seasoned statesperson?
Well, I think that, again, you get back to that Richardson resume, and he's got a little bit of everything that you'd want, including being a governor and being from a different part of the country, as well as all those foreign policy credentials. So he keeps coming up to the top of the list just based on all those boxes you can check off.
In terms of women, as we were talking a little bit back about a two-woman ticket for the Democrats, and we had mentioned Condoleezza Rice, what about Kay Bailey Hutchison from Texas?
Another name that tends to come up, she's a very non-controversial figure. Her other senator from Texas, John Cornyn, is a much more firebrand conservative. Kay Bailey Hutchison has been voting for the children's health bills, which have caused her some problems inside her Republican caucus, but make her kind of an interesting choice in terms of reaching out. So she's a name that comes up, but she also has two small children who she's adopted. So whether she wants to do that or whether she wants to go back to Texas and run for office down there are all question marks. But I think that's not a bad name to think about, especially if the Democrats are about to do something historic, whether it's Clinton or Obama, that the Republicans would show that they can reach out as well.
She has said she doesn't want to be on the ticket for vice president. She cites the 2 6-year-olds, and she's also said she doesn't like the toughness and meanness of Washington. But I don't know how much stock to put in a disclaimer like that if somebody comes knocking at the door.
Well, exactly. But as I said, there's going to be a lot of competition for that job. This time is very unusual that the vice president isn't running for president. But the next time, I think, either because it will be McCain and his age will be a factor, or just in general, people see that that's a great launching pad for presidential campaigns. So it's not going to be as easy as just getting a knock on the door. I think those people who want it are going to have to do a little bit of campaigning for it.
Well, Dottie Lynch, thank you so much for joining us for this half hour. We're going to continue with our talks about the VPs, but we really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Talking with Dottie Lynch there, who teaches in the School of Communication at American University and is a CBS News political consultant. We're talking this hour about the VP selections, and we'll continue with your phone calls. Next up, we'll be talking with Dan Cohen, who is the founder of the online magazine vicepresidents.com and author of Second String, Trivia, Facts, and Lists About the Vice Presidency and Its Vice Presidents. His website is www.vicepresidents.com. And Dan Cohen, thank you for being with us.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell me what you're thinking as you're watching this 2008 race shape up as far as the VPs go.
Well, it's always fun when you talk about being number two because it is such a wild goose chase as to who the two nominees will end up being. So often we get caught up into believing it's one of the candidates running for president. That does happen. However, there's always folks out there who have established credentials who also may be nominees for vice president. That happens quite a bit, too. So at this point, it's kind of a guessing game, and, of course, it's all determined by who the presidential nominees are.
So lay out a couple of scenarios for us. If McCain gets the nomination, who do you see? And let's say Hillary Clinton on the Dem side.
Well, McCain is very interesting because he's so strong on the foreign policy side. And so immediately you have to believe he's looking for somebody strong on the domestic or economic side. And also with John McCain, he's been in the Senate for a long time. And that means he's probably going to be looking for somebody with executive experience or experience even away from Washington. Somebody who within the Washington establishment that might fit the bill could be a Newt Gingrich, perhaps, who seems to be very strong on the economic side, certainly has the interest to be vice president, and has established that many times. But the last thing with John McCain is that he's somebody who will probably pick somebody that he likes, somebody that he gets along with. And so when you look at a McCain, you're probably trying to find somebody he's had establishment with over the years.
Why do you say that, as opposed to someone else who might pick somebody they didn't like?
With John McCain, he's very much from the gut. He's very much a person who says what he believes and tries to get with people who are like-minded and that he, again, likes. And so with a John McCain, as opposed to a strategist-type candidate, I think he's probably going to find somebody who complements him well in the likability factor. And then, of course, you go with the last piece, which is the youth factor. Is he going to reach out to somebody who's younger than him, try to balance the ticket? Maybe the GOP has an up-and-comer, Mr. Pawlenty from Minneapolis and Minnesota, the state of Minnesota, perhaps. Would be a long shot there. With John McCain, it can definitely go either way.
And plus, he's always been sort of a black sheep of the Republican Party. Maybe he needs someone who can appeal to those dyed-in-the-wool Republicans.
Yeah, he might have to do that. There's a governor and a senator from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, who some people think would be a perfect vice president. Alexander has also run for president in 1996. He has been a governor and senator. He does appeal more to the middle or the right, and so maybe that might be a choice as well.
And what about on a Hillary Clinton or an Obama ticket?
Well, on that side, it's very interesting because many people want them to choose one another. But really, when you look at vice presidential politics, that's a bit too radical, I think.
I keep hearing the theme to The Odd Couple as you suggest that.
Yeah, very much so. And I think it's too radical for them to want to risk throwing that out to the public. If Hillary Clinton were to win the nomination, she probably needs somebody. And when we take a step back, we talk about something on the website at vicepresidents.com. It's called ticket brand. And ticket brand is the ability to excite the public, to get them really totally involved with the campaign. Bill Clinton did that in 1992 by picking Al Gore. He basically picked himself, a young Southerner with a great family. And so when you look at Hillary Clinton, she may end up trying to reach out for ticket brand and find a candidate out there who is pretty much like her, maybe liberal to moderate on the issues, maybe has a little bit of experience in Washington, but not a whole lot. When you think about that, maybe you're looking out for somebody across the aisle, perhaps, Bill Cohen, who is Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton. Bill Cohen is a Republican, but he's a real moderate. He would appeal to the right or the Republican Party, compliment her on foreign policy experience, so that could be somebody for her to reach as well.
And how about Barack Obama?
Well, for Barack Obama, the way we see it, and this would be a no-brainer, he needs to find himself. He needs to do what Bill Clinton did in 1992, reach out, find a young guy with a great family, somebody who can show a brand of we're going to turn the corner and lead the nation into the new generation. Somebody like that could be Evan Bayh, the moderate Democrat from Indiana, who has a young family, good-looking guy, governor and senator. And that would be one of those rock star tickets, if you will, that goes out. And I also think with Evan Bayh, he adds a sense of not a lot of people knowing who he is. So, again, it kind of gives this mystique. And then one last piece with Barack Obama, a perfect compliment to him would be John Edwards. But I'm not sure if John Edwards can run twice in a row, but he would be the ultimate ticket, Obama-Edwards. I think the country would grasp that pretty quickly.
And Edwards has said in the past that he and Obama and Clinton can't stand each other, so I don't know how much that possibility is going to be out there. Is he burning some bridges by saying things like that?
Well, it's interesting because in 2004, you saw John Kerry pick John Edwards, and they also did not get along and also had heated campaigns.
And you could tell.
Oh, and you could tell, absolutely. That's a case of ticket brand that didn't work. Because John Edwards was supposed to appeal to the South, the young, and be the rock star of the ticket, and it just didn't pop because John Kerry didn't compliment that well, whereas in 1992, the Bill Clinton-Al Gore ticket did pop. That one did work. Ticket brand worked there. And by the way, it also worked in 2000. The ticket brand there was Dick Cheney and competence. The adults were coming into the White House, and the George Bush-Dick Cheney ticket was actually extremely beneficial to the public, and that's why it paid off.
Okay, let's go back to the phones now and take a call from... Oh, we just lost her. Let's go to Dan in Madison. Hi, Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard on the news that with Edwards dropping out, Nader's actually exploring a presidential bid. And I was wondering what your guests thought if Obama or Clinton would ever consider Nader as a VP.
I don't think Obama or Clinton would consider Nader simply because this is the year that they want to win. And I think that if they did choose Nader on the ticket, it could add a little bit of crapshoot to the process. I think Ralph Nader may run for president again, and certainly the Clinton-Obamas hope not. But with that said, I don't think he would be a vice presidential ticket with either of the candidates.
Just want to jump in here and say we do have a couple of open phone lines, one for you right now. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. We're wondering what you think about who the VP candidates should be on, say, a McCain ticket, on any ticket at all. Would you like to see Condoleezza Rice? Would you like to see more diversity on the ticket in terms of women and maybe Hispanics, Bill Richardson? What are you looking for in a VP candidate, and does it matter to you? And we're talking now with Dan Cohen, the founder of the online magazine vicepresidents.com and author of Second String, Trivia Facts and Lists about the Vice Presidency and its Vice Presidents. And Dan Cohen, as far as a successful VP candidate, is there anything that the hopefuls, the pack of hopefuls, should be doing right now if they want to cinch up something like this? Is it too late? Are the credentials already on the table? Or is there anything they can do to kind of nudge the process along?
Well, it's so interesting when it comes to the vice presidency because, you know, behind the scenes, things are happening. People want to become vice president. And it's a whole lot easier being selected by one person, the presidential nominee, than it would be trying to run for president yourself and raising millions of dollars. So behind the scenes, you can kind of see, even now, how a Tom Vilsack dropped out of the race, the governor of Iowa, in order to help Hillary Clinton win Iowa and kind of gain favor there, perhaps. That did not work. She did not win Iowa. But he certainly could be a vice presidential candidate. Mark Warner on the Democratic side as well, from Virginia, dropped out of the race. And then on the Republican side, of course, you have folks like Bill Cohen, who I mentioned, Newt Gingrich, Lamar Alexander, and then there are a couple candidates who actually ran and are running for president now, like Mike Huckabee. You know, Mike Huckabee, on our website at vicepresidents.com, we talk about how he could be the perfect complement to a John McCain if McCain wants to reach out to the religious right and the conservative party of the GOP. And if he does, Mike Huckabee might be a great VP candidate. He has the communication skills, very articulate, and he certainly balances John McCain well, since Mr. Huckabee is a governor, John McCain a senator.
And many say that Mike Huckabee entered the race gunning for VP, and then his campaign kind of took off. Do you think that's something he's thinking about right now?
Absolutely. I think if you're Mike Huckabee, you have two choices at this point, unemployment or vice president. which are really nice
stuff, options,
I guess. But, so I think he's absolutely looking for that.
Okay, let's take one more call now. Here is Dave calling from Cumberland. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Yeah, so I guess I got a curious question. Possibly the governor of New York, I guess it's Spitzer?
Yes.
Running for Democratic with Obama?
That's a wonderful question. I actually think that New York is unbelievable this year because if there's a candidate who could run on the Democratic ticket, it would be Andrew Cuomo, the attorney general in the state. And so when you look at New York, Giuliani, Clinton, Bloomberg, Spitzer, Cuomo, and then there's still Mario Cuomo, if we want to reach out to an elder statesman to balance Barack Obama, somebody with the maturity and the experience who has had experience in the governor executive level.
He's kept out of it before. What does anything make you think he'd change his mind this time?
I think in terms of Mario Cuomo, he is older, probably nearing his 70s, and maybe it's time that he wants to take one last stab at helping the country. But to directly answer the caller's question, I think Mr. Spitzer has not been in office long enough. He's had a rocky first year there in New York. Certainly if he had a spectacular first year, coming off a big win. There may have been that opportunity, but you never know. History has shown that governors who only serve 1 or 2 years do get picked. Richard Nixon did that when he picked Spiro Agnew back in 1968. Mr. Agnew had only served 2 years as governor. That's it. And so you just never know.
Well, thanks a lot for that call, Dave. We're going to take a quick break now and then be back with more of your calls. We're talking with Dan Cohen. He is the founder of the online magazine vicepresidents.com and author of Second String, Trivia Facts and Lists about the Vice Presidency and its Vice Presidents. The website is www.vicepresidents.com. If you'd like to join in our conversation this hour, give us a call. We'd be happy to talk to you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. Tell us what you think about the VP hopefuls and who you would want to see in the number two slot. I'm Veronica Rickard, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. After 11 on Garden Talk, Larry Mueller's guest is a garden writer who's leaving a large imprint on Wisconsin gardeners. He's Mel Myers of Milwaukee, host of the PBS program Great Lakes Gardener. Veronica Rickert, back with you. I'm in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're talking VPs this hour with guest Dan Cohen, who's the founder of the online magazine vicepresidents.com and author of Second String, Trivia Facts and Lists about the Vice Presidency and its Vice Presidents. And Dan Cohen, we go back to the phones now. Let's take a call from Tom in Plover. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Good morning. You know, with the last several years, I think that the discussion maybe should be about what's the, you know, with the next president, what they expect the power of the vice president to be.
Hmm.
I think that, you know, we're in it. I mean, Gore was active, but, you know, we've got a hyperactive vice president the last 8 years. I guess I would like to hear what the candidates say about these things. I do think that, you know, Cheney could possibly be a consultant to help them determine. He did such a good job the last time determining who a vice president should be.
Thanks a lot for that.
When Bush picked Cheney to help him pick a vice president.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Tom. And Tom makes the point that Dick Cheney did expand the power of the vice presidency. And is that something that has changed the template of the vice presidency, or was that a Cheney thing?
Well, he made some great points there. Dick Cheney was asked to find a vice president, looked in the mirror, found himself, and said, here you go. You got him. I think that the vice presidency has always been defined 100% by the president, not 10% or a little bit, but 100% by the president. The president wants to use the vice president he or she can any way he or she wishes to do so. And what you see over history is that they were never used. They literally were pushed aside or at least given mundane tasks until about 1977. On vicepresidents.com, we talk about 1977 as being the beginning of the new vice presidency, and that started with Walter Mondale, who was given quite a bit of duties under Jimmy Carter. And, of course, it has rocketed first with Al Gore and then with Dick Cheney. So when you look at who the next VP is going to be and what they're going to do, you have to say, what can they do skill set-wise, and what will the president allow them to do? And that's always a big question as well.
We've had a couple of folks emailing in, and Amy from Madison wonders, what do you think about Russ Feingold as VP for either Obama or Clinton?
Well, that could be a phenomenal choice for John McCain, because the McCain-Feingold bill, one of the famous ones out there, has shown that they do reach well together across party lines. And so if John McCain were to want to take somebody he likes and a friend, somebody he's gotten bills done with, that would be Russ Feingold. I think on the other end, absolutely with Barack Obama, that could be the ticket brand I talked about to excite and ignite the country. And also for Hillary Clinton as well. What's interesting here, and this is something the listeners probably would enjoy, is the fact that usually presidential candidates are governors. Vice presidents are senators. But in our election here, barring something crazy, we're going to have senators who are the presidential nominees. So the table has been flipped. And so picking a VP becomes that much more interesting.
Well, it's interesting stuff you talk about in terms of Russ Feingold. You can see him completing a ticket nicely with John McCain to counter, let's say, Barack Obama's message about working across partisan lines, you know, and there he would have a ticket that would reflect that same thing there.
Very much so. But when one looks at who an Obama, Clinton, or McCain will pick, you wonder, can they pick another senator? Are people so tired of the Washington establishment, or at least want to mm-hmm. get away from it a little bit, that they don't want two senators on the ticket? Two senators have happened before, but would it happen this year? Or maybe are they looking for somebody out of politics entirely? On the GOP side, for instance, the Rudy Giuliani, the McCain-Giuliani ticket could be very interesting, as could John McCain looking at somebody else out of politics, like perhaps a Colin Powell.
Let's go back to the phones, and here is a call from Andy in Milwaukee. Hi, Andy, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good.
You know, when you were talking before about what we in college used to call the Bill and Al Roadshow in 92, it got me thinking that the thing that really charged up that election was, you know, it wasn't Bush and Quayle, which you haven't touched on yet, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on. But for me, the thing that I thought was great was James Stockdale, the Admiral. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about third-party picks for vice president.
All right. Thanks for the call, Andy. What do you think, Dan Cohen?
Very good question again. In terms of Bush Quayle, that's an example of ticket brand that actually worked. George Bush Sr. reached out for a younger candidate who can appeal to the GOP right and who also could appeal to youth, kind of excite people. And initially, it was a disaster. People thought he should have dropped Quayle. And at that time, Senator Quayle did not come off very well. But it worked, and they won the election. And that's really all that mattered. In terms of James Stockdale, an interesting VP candidate for sure. We spent a little bit of time on him at vicepresidents.com. A very funny candidate. Serious guy, funny candidate. But I think when push comes to shove, is the country ready for a third party or a third party ticket? We may find that out with Mike Bloomberg. People say he's really exploring a run. I think that as history has shown, third party tickets tend to be spoiler tickets. Even Theodore Roosevelt, who was president and then retired, ran again as a third party candidate and didn't come close to winning. If a guy like Theodore Roosevelt couldn't pull it off, and we've seen over history it hasn't been done, somewhat doubtful it might happen again.
Okay, thanks for that call, Andy. And let's take one now from Jocelyn in New Berlin. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi. I just had a couple of comments. One, I think that if Clinton were to get the election, I think Obama would help her ticket. I think the other does not work. I think if Obama would get the election, I think Clinton polarizes people a little more, so I don't think she would help his ticket. As far as Edwards, I think that he has changed a bit since the last election. I think he had a lot more popularity. So I don't think he would necessarily add rock star quality to like an Obama ticket. I think that Feingold would be an absolutely wonderful balance, for instance, for Obama because of the fact that he has such good, he has good experience in general, but he also has a lot of foreign affairs knowledge, I think. I'm not sure, and I don't think I would put him with McCain simply because I think his values are much stronger on the Democratic side. I think Al Gore might also be a possibility for a vice president because I think his popularity is huge. I'm not sure that he would want it, but I think he would be a great choice. And that's all my comments.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jocelyn. Dan Cohen?
Well, interesting comments, and I tend to agree on one thing. Barack Obama would absolutely be vice president to Hillary Clinton, I believe. I don't think it would work the other way around. And I'm not sure that Senator Clinton would take it the other way around. I think perhaps her husband was president for 8 years. She doesn't want to be vice president. I think she would be more likely not to accept it. What's interesting when you look at the Clinton campaign and say Senator Clinton does win the nomination, to become VP means you're really a third wheel in the marriage. Bill Clinton is there, too. And so the big joke we get on our website at vicepresidents.com, people emailing all the time, is that he'll be the VP, not the real one, but he'll do the duties, and then the VP really has to find his or her own way again.
So we're talking about a number three spot here.
Yeah, number three spot on the Clinton ticket, but that number three spot is technically the Vice President of the United States.
Interesting. Well, I guess there's no way for... Should Hillary try to counteract that assumption, or is that something that works in her favor?
She has to... That will be the choice. If Hillary Clinton wins the nomination, who she picks will be extremely critical to her judgment. Did her husband have a play in that? Is a Leon Panetta coming back? He was White House Chief of Staff. Is there somebody more moderate in the Democratic Party, like an Evan Bayh, who might want to reach out and take that nod? There are also folks like a Mike Bloomberg in New York. You never know if Mr. Bloomberg, who is a very liberal Republican, might want to be a number two for the Democrats. So a lot of different choices. There are mayors out there. Really is a fascinating opportunity to pick two new VPs for this contest.
We've got John from Paoli who has emailed with a question. He wants to know, if don't we usually know who the running mate is well before the convention? And how often has the race been so close that the vice president candidate hasn't been chosen until the convention? And finally, how does a contested nomination affect the timing for choosing a running mate?
Very, very good questions, because history has changed over the years. What happened 200 years ago does not happen now. Typically, in the beginning, it was all done at the convention. Now, because of media and the intensity of introducing the presidential candidate to the public, so if Senator Clinton wins the nomination, she wants to roll herself out more, build her brand and experience, and let people know her. So now what happens is a vice presidential nominee is usually chosen 1 or 2 weeks out, or even just a couple of days before the Democratic and Republican convention. So if both nominees for president are decided in mid-February, then we may not have vice presidential nominees until late August. And so that's a long time for the presidential nominees to build their own experience and their own presentation to the public. On the other hand, if they decide they need somebody sooner, they need somebody quicker to balance the ticket and actually roll themselves out as a team, it could happen as soon as May or June.
I was going to say, waiting until August, couldn't that potentially hurt a candidate because they don't have a lot of time to consolidate the ticket and to get the whole unified message out there?
Well, what's interesting is the Democrats usually have their convention in June or early, but this year it's in August, and the Republicans always have it later. This year it's early September. So that's why the calendar may be pushed back a little bit. And it really is about, do we want to roll out a team and have two people working the country, or do we want the presidential nominee to lead the way until it's time for him or her to pick a number two? Remember, people usually vote for the number one. So, respective of when the number two rolls out, their help in this is, do they excite the electorate and can they help get the message out? But the longer you have that person in the public eye, the more scrutiny you have with him or her as the number two. Mm. And so that could work the other way as well.
Okay, and to the phones again, to Kyle in Bethel. Hi, Kyle, you're on the air.
Good morning. Mr. Cohen, I'd like your opinion. I'd like to hear your opinion on a totally unrealistic, whimsical ticket. Howard Dean, President, Pat Buchanan, VP. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Well, that would not be a third-party ticket. That would be a seventh-party ticket or further down the line. But with that said, the plausible candidate, if there was one in that, would be the Howard Dean as vice president. And he would have been more plausible if he had a better experience in the public eye in 2004.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Kyle. And one more quick one from Barbara in Milwaukee. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. What a wonderful program. Thank you. I have a bit of a strange but amusing thought and a perfect ticket if John McCain should be the nominee. Alan Keyes, who is a conservative and would balance that ticket for those who think McCain is a bit too moderate, and should Obama be the nominee for the Democrats, what a wonderful combination.
Oh, interesting. Thank you, Barbara. Dan Cohen.
Alan Keyes does appeal to the conservatives in the Republican Party, and could be a balance to Barack Obama. I do believe they ran against each other in the Senate race in 2004, although I would have to double-check on that. I'm more of a VP expert than Senate expert, but I believe they did. So I'm not sure if that would bode well for Ambassador Keyes. But he would be an interesting choice, and he did appear in a couple of the debates this year as well, so he did gain some name recognition.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Barbara. We're out of time for calls. Dan Cohen, I want to ask you, what are you hoping for as we the VP season heats up? What would be your hope?
Well, I think that we first have to determine who the presidential nominees are, and then we have to understand where the country's heading. If the country is heading into a recession or there are economic challenges, then certainly you're going to see somebody who's very strong in that area, especially when it comes to the GOP. I don't think John McCain needs another foreign policy expert. He needs somebody who's good on the domestic front. One immediately says, hey, maybe John McCain should choose Alan Greenspan. That would be an interesting match right there.
Well, I wish you a fulfilling VP season in 2008. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Dan Cohen is the founder of the online magazine vicepresidents.com and author of Second String. I want to thank Rhonda Fanning for production this hour. This has been Program 21D. I'm Veronica Rickert. I've been today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.